This is from Adi Lila, chapter 5, starting from text 135. And the title of that chapter is The Glories of Lord Nityananda Balaram. So Lord Nitai is Lord Balaram, as you all know. So Krishna and Balaram, and then Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram as Nityananda. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is describing three ways in which Lord Nityananda served Lord Chaitanya. And then he says in those same three ways, Lord Balaram serves Lord Krishna. Kabu guru, kabu sakha, kabu bhritya lila, purve yena tina bhave vraje kaila khela. Sometimes, translation, sometimes he serves Lord Chaitanya as his guru, sometimes as his friend, and sometimes as his servant, just as Lord Balaram played with Lord Krishna in these three different moods in Vraja. So please repeat after me. Sometimes he serves Lord Chaitanya as his guru, sometimes as his friend, and sometimes as his servant. Just as Lord Balaram played with Lord Krishna in these three different moods in Vraja. So what were the three ways in which he serves the Lord? As a friend, as a servant, and as a guru, as a superior. So after saying this, unfortunately there's no purport to, this verse. And after saying this, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in the following verses, gives some incidents examples of these, of ways in which Lord Balaram serves Krishna in these three different ways. In the next four or five verses. So I'll just read those. Vrishahaya Krishna Sane Mathamathirana Kabu Krishna Kare Tanra Pada Samvahana. Playing like a bull, Lord Balaram fights with Krishna head to head. And sometimes Lord Krishna massages the feet of Lord Balaram. Apanake Bhrityakari Krishna Prabhu Jane Krishna Rakala Rakala Apanake Mane. He considers himself a servant and knows Krishna to be his master. Thus he regards himself as a fragment of his plenary portion. Vrishaya Vrishaya Mano Nridhanto Yudhate Parasparam Anukritya Rutair Jantungsh Cheratu Prakrito Yatha. Translation, acting just like ordinary boys, they played like roaring bulls as they fought each other and they imitated the calls of various animals. Purport, this and the following quotation are from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.11.40 and 10.15.14. So he quotes some verses from the Bhagavatam to give examples of these. So this one was an example as a friend, right? And then fighting as bulls fight together. And then we read how Krishna massages Balaram's feet sometimes, right? So that's as a superior, right? Lord Balaram obviously in that role is his elder brother. He's his superior. So, of course, we can mention that if Lord Krishna is massaging the feet of Lord Balaram, Lord Balaram is so wonderful, right? Krishna is serving him. Krishna is massaging his feet. Then how important Balaram Purnima is for us. How important it is for us. What to speak of us. We have to do everything we can to please Lord Balaram. Next verse. Kvachit krida parishantam gopot sangopa barhanam swayam vrisham yatyaryam padasam vahanadibi. Sometimes when Lord Krishna's elder brother, Lord Balaram, felt tired after playing and lay his head on the lap of a coward boy, Lord Krishna himself served him by massaging his feet. Keyam va kuta ayata daivi va narita suri prayo mayat sume bhartur nanyame pivi mohini. So I'm just going through and reading all these, and then we'll discuss these individually and more deeply. Translation: who is this? This is Lord Balaram speaking. Who is this mystic power, and where has she come from? Is she a demigod or a demoness? She must be the illusory energy of my master, Lord Krishna, for who else can bewilder me? So this is again as a servant, Lord Balaram feeling himself a servant of Krishna. And then one last one. Yasyangri pankajo rajo khila lok Yasyangri pankajo rajo khila loka palair Molyuttamair dhritam upasita tirtham tirtham Brahma bhavo hamapi yasya kala kalaya Shishchodva hema chiramasya nirpasanam kva. What is the value of a throne to Lord Krishna, the master of the various planetary systems? The masters of the various planetary systems accept the dust of his lotus feet on their crowned heads. That dust makes the holy places sacred. And even Lord Balaram, Lord Shiva, Lakshmi and myself, who are all portions of his planetary portion, eternally carry the dust on our heads. So this again is Lord Balaram in the mood of a servant. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has given these wonderful examples of Lord Balaram as a servant, as a friend, and as a master. Now factually, Lord Balaram actually serves Krishna in all five rasas. Right? He's the perfect servitor of the Lord. One of Lord Balaram's names is Sevaka Bhagavan. That he's God, he's Bhagavan, and he's a servant God. He's a servant Lord, servant Bhagavan, Sevaka Bhagavan. So here we've had descriptions of Lord Balaram in three different ways, as a servant, friend, and as superior. But he serves in all five ways. He also serves in the mood of neutrality in Shantaras. Right? How is that? How does he serve in that way? As Krishna's paraphernalia, as a spiritual world. Lord Balaram is the spiritual world, right? The whole spiritual world is his manifestation. As Krishna's throne, as his paraphernalia. In all these ways, Lord Balaram serves Krishna. So as Shantaras, in that way he serves him. And then also in Madhurya Ras, Lord Balaram serves Krishna. He expands himself as Ananga Manjari. And in that form, he assists Srimati Radharani in serving Krishna in Madhurya Ras. So he's the perfect servitor. And ontologically speaking, the difference between Krishna and Balaram, who can say, what is the difference between Krishna and Balaram? No difference except color, right? Krishna, Srila Prabhupada describes that when Krishna turns white, then he's Balaram. So it's just the difference of color, no other difference. Another way it's described is that when Krishna and Balaram are identical, and you have Krishna here, right? And when he takes one step to the side, then he's Balaram. That's the difference between Krishna and Balaram. But when he takes that one step to the side, he changes color, obviously, right? He becomes white. But that one taking step from the side, then he takes the role as servant, right? After this, in the next verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj describes, he makes a specific point. He says, Ekala Ishwar Krishna ar sabhavritya. The only Lord, the only Master, the only Ishwar is Krishna. He's the only Lord of the spiritual world. He's the only Lord of all the planetary systems, of all the worlds. And everyone else, including Lord Balaram, is his servant. So in all these different ways, even as a superior, Lord Balaram is serving him. Everyone in the spiritual world, no matter what rasa they're in, they're in conjugal love as the gopis, they're as friends, they're as his parents. The ultimate rasa, or you could say the basic rasa of all of them, is that they're servant. They're all serving Krishna in those ways. Their idea is not that they're enjoying in those ways, that as Krishna's father, Krishna's serving and they're enjoying. But they're serving, they're the servant, and Krishna's the only enjoyer. Everyone else is enjoyed. So this is Lord Balaram's in every role, his primary role as a servant, right? That's his most wonderful characteristic. And so the first rasa that we can talk about, the first way in which he serves the Lord, we can talk about is as a servant, right? Sevaka Bhagavan. And Lord Balaram is his, you could say, one of his most expressive roles as a servant was as Lakshman, right? When he came as a younger brother of Lord Rama, he was showing the ideal, you could say, servant. As a younger brother, he was always in that incarnation, he was always following Lord Balaram. And when they went to the forest, then when Lord Ram was banished to the forest, then Lakshman could have stayed back, right? Sita had to follow Lord Ram, but Lord Lakshman didn't, right? Sita was the wife of Lord Ram. They're wedded together, and at wedding they take the vows, we'll never part in happiness or hardship, right? But brothers don't take vows, right? They don't take vows that they cannot part. But so it was natural for Sita to follow Lord Ram, but Lakshman didn't have to. But he was such a servant, he wanted to serve Lord Ramachandra, that he was adamant that he followed him. And he went to the forest with Lord Ram. And there, he did everything. He went to the forest, cut the wood. When they were in Chitrakoot, he made the hut. He brought all the foodstuffs for cooking. He was always guarding the tent, always doing cleaning, whatever was necessary. And then at night, he was guarding, right? At night, he wouldn't sleep. Sita and Ramachandra, they would sleep, but Lakshman wouldn't sleep. So for 14 years, it said, Lakshman did not sleep, because he would stay awake all night. So that was Lakshman's pleasure. That was his joy as a servant. I mean, he's unlimitedly enthusiastic to serve Lord Ram. So all of this was not a hardship for him, actually. It was a great joy. But then, once the Sita was kidnapped, and then she was found again, and the battle of the Ramayana was fought, then Lord Ramachandra asked Lakshman to build a fire. And through that fire, build a fire for Sita Devi, Mother Sita, to pass through. And that was very painful for Lakshman. He couldn't bear that. So all of this until now was not painful for him. He was very happy to serve Lord Rama that way. But when Lord Rama asked him to build a fire pyre that Sita Devi would have to pass through, then he felt extremely pained. Because this is Mother Sita, of course, he never wanted to do this. But he did this because he was in the role of a servant. Right, he was a younger brother. In that role as Lakshman, he was only serving. He had to follow orders. Lord Ram was his master. So, but even that was okay. But then they come back to Ayodhya, right? And Sita and Ram, they rule Ayodhya for 100,000 years. Very nice, happy time. This is like the best part of the Ramayana, which is actually never talked about because it's just the happy part, right? So it is, but very little is given in the Ramayana on this part. So 100,000 years went by. And then after 100,000 years, we know the story of how some villagers were talking bad of Lord Ramachandra and Sita Devi, because Sita Devi had spent time in Ravana's courtyard. And so therefore, Lord Ram ordered Lakshman to he ordered that Sita Devi has to go to the forest, to the hermitage of Valmiki. And so this was very painful for everyone, right? Even Lord Ram said this is very, very painful. But then someone had to take Sita Devi there, because no one was going to tell her before she actually arrived at that place. And so Lord Ram asked Lakshman to do it. And this activity, this task of taking Sita Devi to the forest and leaving her there, this completely broke Lakshman's heart. He couldn't take this. It was so painful for him. But he had to do it. So he went and he did it. So then when he came back, he told Ramachandra, he said, in this incarnation, I've come as your younger brother, and I've had to do everything that you're telling me. But in the next incarnation, I'm not going to tolerate this. That's why I'm going to come as your older brother, and I'm going to tell you what to do. So that way, I can, in that way, I can properly serve you and take care of you, because I'll be in a position of making sure this situation doesn't happen. So then, in Krishna's Leela, Balaram appears as the elder brother. So he comes so that in this way he can serve him better, right? So in this way he can be a better servant. So, because whenever Lord Ramachandra was in the forest, right, and a little thorn would prick his feet or Sita Devi's feet, then Lakshman's heart would burn, and he'd be so angry he'd want to destroy the whole world. He was an Antadev, but he couldn't because Lord Ramachandra didn't allow him to. So in throughout the Leelas, he was always just wanting to go and declare war, do whatever to bring Lord Ram back to Ayodhya, but he didn't. But as in his next pastimes, he appeared as Lord Balaram. So this is one example of Lord Balaram as a servant, as Lakshman, right? Then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami here, in his verses here, he's giving another example from Lord Balaram's Leela of when Balaram was a servant. Right, he acted in the mood of a servant. Can anyone else remember any specific incident or occasion where Lord Balaram, in Krishna's Leela, in Balaram's Leela, he acted as a servant? It's hard to think of one, right? Because we're always thinking of elder brother like this. Well, one example that he gives, a wonderful example, is in Brahma's Leela, in the Brahma Vimohana Leela, where Brahma steals the calves and the cows. Lord Balaram, actually, that day it was his birthday, the day that Brahma stole the cows and calves, and then the coward boys from Krishna. So Lord Brahma chose that day because Lord Balaram was home. It was his birthday. And that was the only way he could kidnap all the coward boys. So once Brahma's kidnapped all of the boys, then the next day, Lord Balaram notices that everyone is just falling in love with everyone else. You know, this is very amazing. Before all the mothers in Vrindavan, they used to love Krishna more than their own children, right? When they saw Krishna, milk would flow from their breasts. The cows would love Krishna more than their calves. But now a very odd occurrence was happening, that the mothers, their love for their own children was increasing like anything. And they're loving their own children just like they would love Krishna. Oh, thank you. And they were just, they couldn't they couldn't stay away from their children. When the coward men were tending the cows, the men used to tend the cows, and the boys used to tend the calves. So when they're tending the cows, then they were on the hilltop, and the calves were on the bottom of Govardhan Hill. They were running on the bottom like that. And they were going by. And normally it wouldn't be a problem. You know, the cows are on top, the calves are on the bottom. But when the cows saw their calves on this particular day, they could not resist themselves. And they're way on top of the mountain, and they just rush down. On this rocky... At that time, Govardhan Hill was 27 miles high. So it was a serious mountain. And they just began rushing down, and no one could stop them. All the coward men began beating the cows to try to keep them. No one could stop them. And they rushed down. And all the calves were there, and they immediately began to feed them their milk. And the coward men were very embarrassed by this, because they couldn't stop their cows. and also very angry. They're very irritated by the whole thing. So they came down very angry. But then as soon as they saw their sons, then their hearts melted and they couldn't hold their sticks anymore. And they just ran to their sons and began embracing them. So Lord Balaram was thinking, this is a very odd occurrence. And for some reason I can't understand what's going on. That normally he's the Supreme Lord Anantadev. He can understand everything that's going on. But in this case, he was completely bewildered by the situation. And then he says this verse. That we read. Who is this mystic power? Where has she come from? Is she a demigod or a demoness? She must be the illusory energy of my master, Lord Krishna. For who else can bewilder me? Right? So he says, right? Prayo mayatsu me bhartur. Right? He calls Krishna Bhartur, which is my master. It must be the power of my master, of my dear master. It must be his maya. Because no one else's maya can conquer me. No one else's maya can get to me. But Krishna's can. So therefore, he realizes that all of these must be Krishna. Because no one else, it can be no one else like this. So that's one incident that he gives. Another incident, a very nice incident that he after this that he gives is when Lord Balaram went to rescue Sambha. There's a story of Sambha, and this is a very involved story as well. But the idea is maybe if we have time we'll get to it later. But the idea is that the Kauravas and they were rebuking Krishna, and they were calling him a cowherd, and how Krishna had attained his kingdom only by their mercy. Krishna, the Yadus were kings only by the mercy of the Kauravas. So after hearing this, then he begins to praise Lord Krishna like this. That what is a throne to Lord Krishna? Lord Krishna is a master of the three worlds. All those who sit on great thrones, they hope for the dust of his lotus feet. And with his anger, he became so angry at the Kauravas, he pulled the river Yamuna. He pulled Hastinapur in the river Yamuna, and in this way tried to flood it. And then they came, the Kauravas came running for mercy. So so this was another example of Lord Balaram acting in that way as a servant, feeling that he's a servant of the Lord. He's his order carrier. He has to, stand up for Krishna, right? Then he says this, yeah. So then it's at that place. Then he rebukes the Kauravas in return, and then throws them into the Yamuna. So these are some wonderful examples as Balaram as servant. Can anyone else think of any other incidents? Examples. I can't either. It's only these two. By Krishna Das Kaviraj's mercy. So that's these examples. Now, the second one is as a friend, right? This is probably the most obvious one, right? We think, whenever we think of Krishna and Balaram, we think about them in the forest. And they're frolicking in the forest, and they're bullfighting, they're butting their heads together, it describes, right? Just as equals. They're climbing on one another's shoulders. So this relationship was not there in other incarnations, right? As Lakshman would never climb on the shoulders of Lord Ram, right? He couldn't even think of it. He was always respectful to the Lord. But this is as true friendship, right? They're throwing ball, they're playing. So all of his sort of friendly pastimes in Vrindavan are examples of Krishna's friendship, of Balaram serving Krishna in the mood of friendship. Krishna Das Kaviraj here, he himself doesn't just gives this verse from the Bhagavatam, same verse. He says, acting just like ordinary boys, they played like roaring bulls as they fought each other, and they imitated the calls of various animals. So this is the Sankhiras, the mood of friendship between Krishna and Balaram. And I don't have much more to say on this. There's not much more said on this. Anyone else has he's basically always in a friendship mood, right, in Vrindavan. Now, the one that is possibly most instructive and also the most prominent is as Lord Balaram as a superior, right, as a spiritual master. Now, this is very important because this is a unique quality in Lord Balaram, because Lord Balaram is actually, in his role as spiritual master, he's a spiritual master of the entire spiritual world. Right? It's not just that he's a spiritual master of one or two people, but he's actually the spiritual master of the entire spiritual world. We say he is the spiritual world, right? He makes the abode of all the, you know, the spiritual world and all these things. But he's also the spiritual master of all the residents of Raja. So we can think about it that how this the Vrindavan Leela, Krishna's pastimes, are like a divine drama, right? We say by Yoga Maya this whole drama is taking place. And Krishna is a principal actor in this drama. And everyone is taken away in this drama. They all forget themselves in this wonderful drama. So the person who's, you could say, directing everyone in some ways in this drama is Lord Balaram. In some ways, he's in the drama, he's like the, you know, the senior role, the director. When, for example, when Krishna, when he jumped in the river Yamuna, then all the residents of Vrindavan, they wanted to rush into the river Yamuna. Right? Everyone just wanted to go and help Krishna. You know, we have to go and help him. We have to go and save him. But Lord Balaram, he stopped them. He stopped them all. He kept everyone on the shore. He says, no, I know my Lord's power. I know Krishna's power. Don't worry, don't go inside. You know, don't go help him, because he's fine there. So in this way, he's in that role where he's like the older brother. And that day especially, when Krishna jumped into the Kaliya, into the river Yamuna to fight Kaliya, the reason why everyone was so disturbed, the reason why Mother Yashoda was so anxious, was because that day Krishna had gone to the forest without Balaram. So if Krishna's with Balaram, then Mother Yashoda is very happy. She's satisfied. She knows Krishna's protected. You know, Balaram is protecting him like that. You know, big brother's there. But that day he had gone alone. So everyone is very worried like that. So in that way, he's a spiritual master of the entire spiritual world. So this is Lord Balaram's role as guru, which is very relevant for us, right? Guru Tattva. Guru Tattva comes from Balaram Tattva. From Lord Balaram comes this tattva of the spiritual master. And so even Krishna takes him as a superior, right? We're reading here how Krishna massages his lotus feet, you know, at times. Krishna is helping him, you know, in so many ways, is seeing him as a senior in so many ways. So in this way, we see that he's the original spiritual master, and he's guiding all of the different activities. He's guiding all of the different, living and residents of the spiritual world in how to exactly serve Krishna. And he's so expert that he can do all the services himself, right? He manifests in every different way. We showed how even in Madhurya Ras he's manifested himself. In all these different ways he's manifested himself. He's perfectly capable of serving Krishna in every way that Krishna's fully satisfied. And there's no need for us, right? But then the question is, what is the need of anyone else? What is our need in the spiritual world? And that's Lord Balaram's quality as a spiritual master. Even though he's fully capable and fully competent of serving Krishna in every single way, but out of his compassion, he wants to engage everyone else in Krishna's service, right? In Krishna's activities. So in Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, Krishna killed many demons, right? He killed about 24 some demons. And in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings, he compares each of these demons to one of the anarthas within our heart, right? When Krishna kills a particular demon, then he kills that particular anartha within the heart. Now, it's very interesting. I have this whole list of all the different anarthas and the different things that they represent. Well, one thing that Bhaktivinoda Thakur specially points out is that the demons that Lord Balaram killed in those pastimes, those demons, you could say, were the most difficult. They were the most vicious, you could say. And those anarthas, he said, the reason why Lord Balaram killed those particular demons is because those anarthas, he said, can only be removed by the mercy of the spiritual master and by the mercy of Lord Balaram. So that's why they're very, very significant. And that's why it's so important to get that a mercy of Lord Balaram. So, and it's very interesting how in these particular, Lord Balaram, as a spiritual master, how he particularly removed these anarthas. So what I want to do is I just want to quickly tell you about this, and then we'll discuss these particular ones in detail. So Lord Balaram, he killed two demons in particular, right, in Vrindavan Leela. One was Pralambasura and the other was Dhenukasura, right, Dhenukasura. So both of them, they represent very key qualities. And how the pastime goes describes how we get rid of these anarthas. So in the case of Pralambasura, when Krishna and Balaram were in Vrindavan, then Pralambasura was trying to kill Krishna, right? He came there, and then he came in a particular form. What was the form that he came in? No. Huh? As a cowherd boy, right? Pralambasura came to that spot, and he came as a cowherd boy, and he came to where the all the boys were playing, and before coming he had done his research, right? He had, as he was like the, you could say, modern day terrorist, he had done all his research, and he had found out that day one particular boy was missing. Generally a boy was always missing in Krishna's pastimes because it was their birthday on that day, so they would stay home if it was their birthday, and that particular boy was missing. So Pralambasura took the form of that boy. And he joined Krishna's pastimes. Now, when he got there, then Lord Balaram and Krishna were there, and Krishna, he noticed this boy, but he didn't say anything, right? And they joined the party. And as we know, on that day they decided to do a wrestling match, like a fighting game, and divide the coward boys into two parts. And the part that the group that would win would the group that would lose would carry on the shoulders the group that would win. So they divided the coward boys in two parts, and then they chose their leaders. You know, on each side there was going to be a particular leader. And naturally, one side chose Krishna as their leader, and the other side chose Balaram as their leader. Now, Pralambasura, he had heard quite a lot about Krishna. So he was afraid about Krishna. He was a little afraid of him. He thought, this boy is a bit powerful. He's killed so many of my friends, so many of my relatives. And I should stay, you know, try out the other boys first before I try Krishna. So he went on Krishna's side. Because this way, if he was on the same team as Krishna, he wouldn't have to hold Krishna on his shoulders, or wouldn't be on Krishna's shoulders. So he was on the one side, and with the Krishna and the other coward boys, and Balaram and the other cowards were on the other side. So of course, Lord Balaram's team won, right? They had the big wrestling match, and Lord Balaram's team won. And so the boys on Krishna's side had to take Balaram on Balaram and the other boys on the other side, on their shoulders. So Pralambasura, as a coward boy, in the form of that coward boy, he took Lord Balaram on his shoulders. And he thought, this is good. This is Krishna's brother. So if I can kill Lord Balaram, it will, you know, break Krishna's heart. And so he put Lord Balaram on his shoulder, and he began to run away with Lord Balaram. Now, Lord Balaram, acting as this spiritual master, you could say, as a servant of the Lord, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he describes that how he forgets sometimes his godly powers, right? So he's riding on this coward boy, and this coward boy is taking him, you know, to the spot where all the other coward boys were going with their friends on their shoulders. But then he just keeps on going, and he keeps on going. And he's thinking, where is this coward boy taking me? Oh, who is this boy? And then Lord Balaram sort of forgets, you know, that he's the Supreme Lord. So Krishna reminds him of his godly powers, said Krishna has to, you know, remind him. They're all like in a drama, just like in a drama, right? We forget ourselves. So it's not a type of illusion, like a dream or something. No, it's a voluntary drama. They all are in this wonderful, playful spirit. So Krishna and Balaram, Krishna himself often forgets himself in this wonderful, it's described in the Bhagavatam. The analogy that they give, when Krishna forgets himself in the Yoga Maya, he's like an actor who forgets himself in a wonderful play. So Lord Balaram is forgotten, and Pralambasura is taking him far, far away. So then he realizes, Krishna reminds him, and Balaram becomes very heavy, right? And he becomes as heavy as Mount Meru. And Mount Meru is very heavy, as you know, it's a very great weight. But Pralambasura can still carry him. So he's not an ordinary demon either. He's a great demon. And so he takes the form of this massive demon whose, you know, head is touching the sky. Because no longer in his coward boy form can he handle the weight of Balaram. And when Lord Balaram sees this boy in this Pralambasura form, then he becomes greatly shocked, greatly amazed. Wow, what a great demon. Wow, I didn't realize this, what I was into, whose shoulders I was on. So then he gives Pralambasura one good blow, one strong blow on the head, and the demon is dead, and he falls dead on the ground. So, and then naturally all the coward boys come and they all cheer for Lord Balaram. Well done, well done, well done. So in this way he kills Lord Pralambasura, this massive, horrible demon. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that this demon, Pralambasura, represents an anartha. Which anartha do you think that he represents? Pralambasura. Huh? Pride, that's actually another demon that Balaram killed. Lust, yes. One of the qualities he represents is lust, right? And then one more anartha. Deceitfulness, I mean, that's a good one, you think, because he came with that. He says the desire for fame and prestige, for honor and prestige. So the that desire, these two qualities Pralambasura represents. And it's very significant why. It's why, how this demon appeared. The first quality, we can think about lust, right? So how did Pralambasura come in Krishna's pastimes? As a friend, right? As a very sweet coward boy. You know, as a very friendly creature, you know, as Krishna's friend. So in the same way, lust comes like that to the living entity, right? It comes as a very nice friend and very attractive and in disguise, right? And it's one of the deepest anarthas, one of the things that drags us away from Krishna, right? He comes as a coward boy, as a friend, and he puts us on our shoulder and takes running, he takes us away from Krishna. So that's one as lust, right? Then the second quality is the quality of desiring honor and respect, right? And this quality, this specifically is referring to in a devotee, right? Once we come to devotional life, right? We give up everything. We give up all the sinful activities. We practice the regulative principles. But still that desire for, as a devotee, to be respected, to be honored, that still remains, right? And that desire remains, that desire is sort of very tricky, because it's as a devotee, one's thinking, oh, I'm a devotee of the Lord, in the sense that I don't want material honor, I don't want prestige, I don't want to become a big man, but I'm a devotee of the Lord, and therefore, you know, I should be respected like this. It's a very subtle anartha. So that one also, it comes as a friend. It comes as one of us. And it's not something outside. It's not a material anartha. It's not, you could say, when you go out on the streets, a bad billboard or an unkind, person or a demon, something like that. Something that's very obvious. This is something that comes within our devotional lives as a friend. And we just, we think about it in different ways. So again, that quality also comes as a friend. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that specifically these two qualities can only be freed by the grace of the spiritual master. Right? He says, the other qualities, he lists 24 different anarthas. Right, so many other different qualities, he says. He says, those by chanting the holy name very purely, by begging the Lord, by performing devotional service, by these two things, by chanting and by performing devotional service, one can get rid of them. But these ones, even by those activities, one cannot fully get rid of them. Only by the grace of the spiritual master can one get rid of them. As it's a fact, isn't it? Krishna and Arjuna in the Gita, he asks Krishna, he says, why do people act in certain ways even though they don't want to act in that way? Even though their intelligence tells them that this is not the right thing to do. And Krishna, what does he respond? He says, right? It is lust only, O Arjuna, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy in this world. Right? So lust is the all-devouring sinful enemy in this world. It's the root, chain, a knot that's binding the soul to this world. And that only by the grace of the spiritual master ultimately does one get free from it. And therefore, only by the grace of Lord Balaram. Because the spiritual master is a representative of Lord Balaram, right? It's only by his grace, by Balaram's grace, that we can become free of these things. So in the Krishna book, Prabhupada writes this, right? This is probably the most emphatic statement, one of the most emphatic statements where we find about why this day is so important and why we pray to Lord Balaram on this day, why it's so important and so valuable to pray on this day. He says, Krishna book, this is in the chapter Prayers by the Demigods for Lord Krishna in the Womb. He says, in the Upanishads it is stated, Nayam Atma Bala Hinena Labhya. Nayam Atma Bala Hinena Labhya. The purport is that one cannot attain the supreme platform of self-realization without being sufficiently favored by Balaram. Bala does not mean physical strength. No one can attain spiritual perfection by physical strength. One must have the spiritual strength which is infused by Balaram or Sankarshan. Ananta or Shesha. Ananta or Shesha is the source of the power which sustains all the planets, in all different positions. Materially, this sustaining power is known as the law of gravitation. But actually, it is a display of the potency of Sankarshan. Balaram or Sankarshan is a source of spiritual power, or the original spiritual master. Therefore, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is also the incarnation of Balaram, is the original spiritual master. And the spiritual master is a representative of Balaram, the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who supplies the spiritual strength. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is confirmed that the spiritual master is a manifestation of the mercy of Krishna. Okay. So here he's saying, no one can attain the spiritual perfection without the mercy, without being favored, without being sufficiently favored by Balaram. And this is why we see the importance of the spiritual master and pleasing the spiritual master, who's a representative of Lord Balaram. Prabhupada is saying he's a representative of Lord Balaram. Because these deep knots in our heart, they're cut only by that mercy of Lord Balaram. And he's unlimitedly powerful, right? He's Sankarshana. We should mention that the Bhagavatam describes how on his heads, on one of his heads, this entire universe is resting. But Anantashi is not exactly sure where it is resting. Right? So there's no shortage of physical strength, of material strength in Lord Balaram. And similarly, there's no shortage of spiritual strength. By the spiritual strength of Lord Balaram, one can attain him. So this is one anartha, right? Lust and two anarthas, and this desire for honor and prestige. Then we have the pastor of Dhenukasura, right? The ass demon. Right? He came as a big ass. Actually, in his last life, Dhenukasura was the son of Bali Maharaj. He was Sahika. His name was Sahika. Right? And so he was actually the son of Bali Maharaj, a great devotee of the Lord, previous to his becoming Dhenukasura. And one time he was, you know, in the, you could say, in the lineage of the demons. So he was son of a great devotee, but still, you know, he was sort of part of that culture, you could say, that society. So one time he was on top of a mountain. I forget which mountain it was, but he was enjoying with 10,000 women. So we can imagine, you know, he was there's so much noise there. There's dancing, there's music, and he was enjoying in the company of 10,000 women. Now, there's just one problem, as we see in material life. There's always a problem that in a cave next to where he was enjoying, Durvasa Muni was performing his meditation. Right. So this is how we see in material life. Like always, it always gets foiled. You know, you make the perfect arrangement, and something goes wrong. Police come or something. So this is the heavenly police. You know, Durvasa Muni. He's sort of there, and he is trying to perform his meditation, in deep meditation. And but the sound of the dances and the music, and of all these things, it was disturbing his meditation. It disturbed his meditation. So he came out of this cave and was extremely angry, and his eyes are burning. And he comes out, and he looks at Sahika, and he said, "You are just like an ass. So therefore, you become an ass," he says. "Therefore, in your next life, you will become an ass for hundreds of thousands of years." And he says, after 400,000 years, you will go to the forest of Talavan, and there Lord Baladev will liberate you from this. So even though, I mean, we've in the Bhagavatam, we've always sort of seen Durvasa Muni as a very angry mystic, and sometimes, we don't even see him as, we see, you know, in the story of Amrish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni, Amrish Maharaj is a great devotee, and Durvasa Muni is sort of just like a mystic. But still, he's a very great personality and a great devotee. So even his curse, very much like Narada Muni's curse, it had such a wonderful, positive benefit. So he takes Sahika in his next birth, he takes birth as Dhenukasura, and he lives in the Talavan forest. So now it's described that in Krishna's Leela, we read in the Krishna book about 24, 25 demons, about those demons. But this isn't the complete Krishna book, you could say. This isn't the complete, you could say, the full Bhagavatam. In the heavenly planets, they have Bhagavatams with verses like, I think, 200,000 verses or something. So there's many, many other demons also that came. And it describes that every day there's a demon that came and attacked Krishna and Balaram in their play. Right? Every day. This is how the coward boys and Krishna had their lunch. Right? Because, you know, you might remember as young kids, when you're playing and you're so immersed in playing, then you completely forget about food, right? It's like when someone calls for lunch or dinner, then it's like you sort of come in a different reality. Right? Suddenly reality changes, like, oh no. So they're having the best play possible, right? The eternal play. They're playing with coconuts and mangoes and throwing them around like balls and playing in the river Yamuna. So there's just no way to stop this blissful play. It's just like too fun. You can't stop it. So the way that they would have their lunch was that about noontime, a demon would come, right? And Krishna and Balaram would have to kill this demon. And once they kill the demon, they'd sort of, you know, wake up from their play. I mean, the whole demon would sort of just like disturb the whole playing. And then they'd remember, you know, we have lunch back. We should eat, you know, we should eat today. And so they sit down and have their meals. So this was like a normal occurrence, and every day they saw Krishna and Balaram doing these amazing feats and killing these demons. So by this time they're very confident of their friend's powers. You know, they're like, these guys are really, you know, good. And no one can beat them. You know, Krishna and Balaram, they're just like the best. And they're so confident of the Lord. They have complete faith in the protection of the Lord. So one day, they actually, somehow or the other, maybe by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, they started feeling hungry, right? So they go to Lord Balaram and they say, Lord Balaram, are you feeling hungry? So Lord Balaram wasn't feeling hungry, but he realized that the reason why they're asking him was because they were feeling hungry. So sometimes mothers do that, right? They ask their children if they're hungry or not when they're feeling hungry. This is right. So my mother used to do that. So they went to Balaram and they asked him. Balaram, so he wants to feed his friends, and so his friends say that, you know, nearby here there's a very beautiful forest, full with fruits and big, you know, all sorts of best fruits there. And it's called the Talavan Forest. And the aroma from these fruits is so sweet that it comes all this way. But no one can actually eat them because there's this demon, the Hinugasura, who lives there. And anyone who goes there, you never see him again, because this demon kills anyone who comes in his forest. So Balaram, you're very strong. Krishna and Balaram, you're very strong. Can you go and just get rid of this demon so we can have the fruits? So Lord Balaram, he's very happy to serve his friends, and he takes up the wonderful opportunity. And so he goes, first of all, he goes alone to the Talavan forest to meet this demon, Dhenukasura. Right? And Dhenukasura, he's somewhere in that forest. And Balaram goes and he goes to one of the big trees and he starts shaking it like anything. Shaking like it's all these nice fruits, they fall down on the floor. And all the coward boys then come, right? And they start picking up these fruits and starting to eat them in their complete bliss. But when this shaking happens, then the whole earth shakes, right? Because Lord Balaram is shaking this tree. It's no ordinary person shaking it. And this whole tree is shaking, and the other trees are shaking, and the earth is shaking. So Dhenukasura, he's sound asleep at this time. What do donkeys do? You know, they sleep. So he's sound asleep. And as you know, many people, they're very disturbed if you wake them up in the middle of their sleep, right? Afternoon time, it's the afternoon nap is so important, and someone comes and disturbs you in the middle of the sleep. Now this was an ass, this was Dhenukasura. So he was greatly disturbed, greatly angered by the fact that he was awoken by Balaram. And he comes galloping in, extremely angry at Balaram. And he charges right at him, right? And wants to kill Balaram, obviously. So Lord Balaram he first comes and hits Balaram on the with his hind legs. He hits Balaram on the chest. And Lord Balaram just stands there unmoved. Then he hits him again. And Lord Balaram takes his hind legs and he throws him onto one of the trees, right? So there's many different ways this story is described. So in the Krishna book it says, once he throws him, the demon's out, he's dead, he's gone. But in other texts the acharyas describe, no, so he falls down again and he's still alive. And he has a crack on his head like this. And he's very angry with Lord Balaram. But Lord Balaram is a very tough person, you can realize. He's actually taken aback. But he sees this little boy, so gentle looking, so beautiful, right? Whitish. Right? Some of us have visited Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan. And he's so, like, his face is like butter, right? So soft. And so he's a bit confused. When he's whirling up in the air, he's a bit confused. He's just like confused. How is it that this boy threw me up on this tree? It just doesn't make sense to him. And so anyway, he falls down again on the ground. And this time, he charges towards the coward boys. Right? He thought, a nice way to get to Balaram is to charge towards the coward boys. And so he goes to the coward boys. And you know, the coward boys are sort of used to this. Right? Every day there's a demon coming. And so they're also not so afraid anymore. So Shridham, you know, he takes his stick and he starts beating the Dhenukasura demon. And I think, what was it, Subal or something. He, like a cowboy, he makes a noose that he tries to noose Dhenukasura and put him in his noose like that. And someone else kicks him like this. So he gets kicked and beaten from all sides. And the coward boys also, they're very strong, right? This demon, he said, of course, like the other demons, he was humongous, like a mountain. So they're also very powerful. Otherwise, a demon would have hurt them. But anyway, he gets kicked like this. Then he charges towards Krishna. And Krishna takes him. And he takes him by the hind legs and he just throws him. Right? He throws him somewhere far away and he falls to the ground. Then it's too much for the Dhenukasura. So he thinks, I have to think of some weapon. And this, just hitting these coward boys and Krishna and Balaram with my legs and things isn't working. So then he digs a hole in the ground and he digs out Govardhan Hill. This guy, the whole hill. You can imagine how powerful he is. Yes, so according to this account, this comes from the Garga Samhita, this account. Krishna actually lifts Govardhan Hill a few times. So Dhenukasura, he digs a hole in the ground. And at that time, Govardhan Hill was 27 miles high. And he takes Govardhan Hill and he throws it at Krishna, right? And then Krishna, unmoved, he takes the hill and he throws it back on Dhenukasura. And then Dhenukasura throws it back at him. And then he throws it back, Krishna throws it back on Dhenukasura. So this goes on a few times. And then finally, Krishna is his devotee. Govardhan is his devotee. So he puts him aside and he sets him aside. He doesn't want to use him anymore as a weapon. So then Dhenukasura goes back to Balaram. Finally he goes back to Lord Balaram. And Lord Balaram, he takes him again. And he takes him by the hind legs and he throws him to the ground. And then his head cracks. But still he doesn't die. Still the Dhenukasura doesn't pass away, right? And then Balaram comes and gives him one strong punch on his head, like he did to Pralalam Masura. And then the Dhenukasura is out. He's gone. So finally he's dead. So the Dhenukasura was so difficult to finish. So difficult to kill, right? With Pralambasura, Balaram just gave one punch on his head and he was gone. But Dhenukasura took so long. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that Dhenukasura represents material knowledge. He represents the anartha of material knowledge. Or the lack of spiritual knowledge. The covering of spiritual knowledge. Right? So this is avidya. This is the root thing that's binding us to this world, ignorance, right? Ignorance of our true identity, ignorance of our relationship with Krishna, and the covering of material knowledge. So that quality also, right? That quality also can only be dispelled by the spiritual master. We say, Om Gyanam Timrandasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah. That the spiritual master, one of the main roles that he has, his primary, you could say, function, is that he gives spiritual knowledge. He wakes up our eyes, which are darkened by ignorance. He shines the torchlight of knowledge and opens our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So this also could only be removed by Lord Balaram, because Lord Balaram is the original spiritual master. This is why Krishna did not kill Dhenukasura. There are actually two reasons. There's two reasons why Krishna himself didn't. The first reason is that, as we heard in his last life, Dhenukasura was who? Sahika. And who was Sahika? The son of Bali Maharaj. And who was Bali Maharaj? He is the grandson of Prahlad, right? And when Lord Nrsingadev had killed Hiranyakashipu, then Hiranyakashipu is the father of Prahlad, right? So even though Prahlad Maharaj was so happy that Lord Nrsingadev had come and he had killed his demoniac father, but still, to see his father being killed was very painful. Heart-rending for Prahlad Maharaj. But still, it was his father. He was a demon, but still, he felt a little disturbed, you could say, unhappy, or not unhappy, but just moved by the situation. So Lord Nrsingadev promised Prahlad Maharaj, that he said that in your dynasty, I promise you that I'll never kill another one of your descendants. I'll never touch them. I'll never kill them. So he gave sort of Prahlad Maharaj this promise. So because Dehinukasura in his previous life was a son of Bali Maharaj, was Sahika, who was the grandson of Prahlad, Krishna sort of remembered that, and he didn't want to kill Dehinukasura. He thought, no, I won't kill him because of this promise. So that was one reason, sort of you could say the pastime reason, like that. And then the second reason was because of this one, that Lord Krishna did not, the demons that Lord Balaram killed, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, they're the ones, he only killed a few, these two, they're the ones that are the anarthas in our heart that only the spiritual master, that Krishna has arranged it that the spiritual master removes. The other anarthas Krishna can remove, but these he leaves for the spiritual master. So he wanted Lord Balaram to kill Dehinukasura in this one. So you might now just be wondering, just it might be burning, you know, what are some of the other anarthas, you know, that Krishna removes? So I thought I'll just read a few of them, and then we're getting to the end of our time pretty soon. So then we'll have some question and answer. Putana, who do you think Putana represents? False guru, yes, pseudo guru, yes. Shakata Asura. Bad habits, lethargy, vanity. He was a cart demon, you know. So he's lethargy. He's just sitting there. He's a demon, as you know, just sitting. Trinavarta, the whirlwind demon. This one is interesting. I like it. He's false pride, which comes from material scholarship, you know, and bogus philosophies. Right? Very airy, right? It takes your brain everywhere. It goes in all directions. The whirlwind demon. They say people who are intellectual are very vata. They're very air, right? They've got a lot of air in their head. So Trinavarta, you know, the whirlwind demon. Then Nalakuvar and Manigriva. Arrogant pride that comes from puffed up prestige, which is rooted in madness for wealth. Vatsasura, the captain, the childish type of mentality which gives rise to a type of greediness. Like this. Bakasura, cunning, duplicity, deceptiveness, false types of behavior. Aghasura, cruelty and violence. So there's many more, the list goes on. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he says, the devotee who worships the holy name should first petition the Lord for the strength to cast out all of these unfavorable tendencies, and should pray thus before Lord Hari on a daily basis. By doing this regularly, the devotee's heart will eventually become purified. Sri Krishna has killed a number of demons which may arise in the kingdom of the heart. So in order to destroy these problems, a devotee must cry very humbly before the Lord and admit defeat. Then the Lord will nullify all contaminations. So in order for the Lord to appear within the heart, first Lord Balaram must appear in the heart, right? This is also how Krishna appeared in this world, right? When Krishna appeared, then first, who appeared in Devaki's womb? It was Lord Balaram, right? Lord Balaram appeared, and then everyone, and then he sort of set the red carpet there for Krishna. He made all the arrangements. And then he suddenly disappeared, and he was transferred to the womb of Rohini. So everyone thought that Devaki had a miscarriage. She thought that she had a miscarriage. But he appeared there to ready everything for Krishna. Krishna would only appear in Devaki's heart and in her womb once Balaram had been there. And once he had been there, then Krishna appeared in Devaki's heart. So in the same way, Lord Balaram will appear, Krishna will appear in our hearts only if we have the mercy of Lord Balaram. If first Balaram appears, and first Balaram as a spiritual master or the spiritual or this guru will appear in our heart. So by the spiritual master's mercy, by Lord Balaram's mercy, we get Lord Krishna. And thank you very much. If there are any comments or anyone else has any points.